Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Friendos, it's the Shootster. This is the last week for you to grab your copy of Hot Men Shed. It's the CD exclusive event of the summer, don't you know? It murders all those other CD exclusive episodes that those other tawdry podcasts are putting out. Make sure you grab it. It's only $20. You can stop by Commonwealth Dry Goods or go to CommonwealthDryGoods.com and we will drop it in the mail and ship it anywhere in these contiguous United States. If you do it this week, you get a 4-inch red Chad Duke Show sticker right there for FREE as well. That's CommonwealthDryGoods.com. You have until Friday, August 22nd, to get your copy of Hot Men Shit. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Welcome in. Thank you for being here. It is your friendo, the Shootster. What it is, what I do, my turkeys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening on the free iTunes feed or watching live on YouTube. Both are appreciated. If you're not doing one or the other, it's real easy. Go to youtube.com/Chad Duke Show. Click subscribe. It don't cost nothing. Or go to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your PID history. And type in the Chad Duke Show Poor Edition. Poor Edition. And then it'll pop right up and you get all kinds of content. A mess of motherfucking content. Hit that like button if you are so inclined. If not, we part as friends. Maybe you have arthritis. You don't want to do any clicking, any fervent clicking. I get it. But it's a big day for your pal, the Shootster, but I decided to spend some time with it here with ye, even though I'm working tonight. Tonight we are recording what I believe is to be the final CD exclusive episode of 2025. When it will drop, I do not know. But what I do know for certain is today is the last day for you to get the hottest episode of the summer, Hot Men Shed CD exclusive episode. Been on sale for 20 days, and that's all we're going to do. So if you would like a copy, it only costs $20. You can either swing by Commonwealth Dry Goods in Old Town Fairfax, or even more convenient, there's a link pinned to the top of the chat, or in the bio, the description, or you can just go to CommonwealthDryGoods.com, snag yourself a copy today. I believe there might be one or two Chad Duke Show fish hats kicking around still there. Great way for you to support the show. And the episode is completely unique. I don't even need to give it a hard sell. Once you hear it, you realize I've never heard a radio show or a podcast. All due respect to Kill Tony, Murder Anthony, all due respect to the Joe Rogan, the E, the JRE. All due respect to all the bigger podcasts out there than mine, which are great. They ain't never done nothing like this. Never, not never. You never watched a 400-pound heart attack patient laying waste to a rusty rat feces, lantern fly, exposed electrical fucking outlet-ridden structure in the backyard of what I can only describe as the worst house in Maryland. And I mean that. I mean all of Baltimore. I mean all of Savage, Brooklyn Park, Parkville, Essex, all of it. Timonium. This is the worst house I've ever seen. And we sat there in the 300-degree weather fucking putting together this show for you. So the least that you can fucking do is go to CommonwealthDryGoods.com and pick one up today. It don't cost much. Please and thank you. Much to get to on today's show. I've noticed something. I don't know how many of you are involved in the Bart Wright Twitter sphere or the YouTube community, but there seems to be this turn now where if you discuss anything but the Epstein files getting released, then you are a nudnik and you are falling victim to a red herring and you are susceptible to false flag narrative. I don't even know. Like, I'm seeing this all over the place. I'm a big Dave Landau fan. I think he's a funny guy. But let me pull it up. I think I took a picture of it. He actually had a post. Yeah, he tweeted out, buy stock during manufactured outrage. And it was a picture of the new Cracker Barrel logo. And then, of course, my guy, fan of radio, who I'm a big fan of, and I consider him a friend. But when he's not driving 18-wheelers across Kansas, he's an expert in all things paranormal and parasocial activity. He's over there already criticizing people for having an opinion on Cracker Barrel. Hey, we've only been outraged about Cracker Barrel for about 36 hours. The rest of us aren't as fucking Aerosmith and living on the edge as you are, fan of radio. I'm allowed to be fucking... I can do two things at once, right? I can have an opinion on the National Guard being in Washington, D.C. I can have an opinion on whether or not Josh Allen should have played in the preseason. I can have an opinion on whether or not I believe that this new technology that's exposing structures underneath the Great Pyramid should be followed. I can do all of those things, fan of radio, and I can still say that the Cracker Barrel rebrand is fucking stupid. I don't care how much money they were losing. I don't get it. Oh, you're not talking about the episode. I understand that people having sex with underage people is very, very important. I understand that. I'm not a fucking retard. Like, I mean, there's people out there that I suppose they drill down on one topic and they're myopic about it and that's all they think about. My brother is that way. My brother's pro-choice, so he just votes Democrat every single election. It kill me if I'm ever a single-issue voter. Seriously, just come in here and brain me with a spade shovel if every time I go behind the curtain at the polls, it's one issue and one issue alone that I care about. Holy shit. Damn, the stock market is up almost 1,000 points. Don't bring that up, Pia. We need to focus on the Epstein files being released, and that is it. That's all that matters in this world. The border, the economy, inflation, COVID, all the things that motivated us to get out to the polls, none of that matters. Look, man, we just got to stop operating like single-celled organisms. And I get it. Like, I'm as irritated with the faux outrage as I'm sure all of you are. I don't think this is faux outrage. I think that cracker barreling behind a woman with the Rachel Maddow glasses, I think Clay Travis coined that phrase, I'm stealing it. I think it's symbolic to lots of people of lots of different things they've seen happen over the past 8 years. A lot of statues being torn down. A lot of people being called horrible things because they enjoy something from their past. Kind of fucking sick of it. And so when you look at what Cracker Barrel's doing and who's doing it to Cracker Barrel, people are getting pissed. And I kind of understand it. But I'm not even going to take it from a political slant. What you should look at is, if you've watched any of my YouTube streams, which there's not a lot of you that have, God bless, we covered what Chili's has done quite a bit. We talk about the way Chili's has resuscitated their brand and how they didn't. They didn't put two middle fingers up to all their old customers and say, the ones we don't have are more valuable than you. And that's where people go off the fucking rails when it comes to Bud Light or whatever woke fucking, you know, go woke, go broke shit. It's not about going woke and going broke. It's respecting and understanding the views of the people that are still paying for your product, right? Like, I would like to grow my brand. I would like for more people to see my shit. But I'm never going to sacrifice the people that are paying $12.99 a fucking month for a daily episode. Like, you're going to get the show that you want. You're going to get the show that you pay. Nothing else that I do is ever going to affect that. And that's where Bud Light went off the rails, and that's where Cracker Barrel's going off the rails. They don't understand where their bread and butter is. Now, I understand, Otto, you're so embarrassing. And because you've been a listener of mine for a long time, I'm going to forgive you for being this fucking stupid. I don't know how many of you have seen this line over and over and over again on social media. And everybody that's a low-thinking nudnik, no disrespect, Otto, no disrespect. We shared a lantern fly-filled backyard. I don't want you to take any offense to this, but you're a fucking moron for putting this on YouTube. You stole a bad line that if anybody made that joke about anybody other than an old white man, it would be Armageddon. You can't even put a fucking Native American lady and an indigenous lady on a fucking box full of butter anymore. That's considered offensive. But there's 8 million people on X, as stupid as Otto is, making the same joke. They got rid of the cracker and the barrel. Fuck off. Let a fucking thought breathe for a second and ask yourself, do I really want to fucking sign my name to this piece of shit joke? The point being is that Chili's and Domino's and these companies that have bootstrapped themselves up out of the fucking ether, up out of the swamp, for lack of a better cliche, they didn't do so at the expense of the essence of what they are. And Cracker Barrel did that. And that's why it's a big deal. I've probably been to Cracker Barrel 10 times in my life. There was one right over next to the Big O and Duke studio. We would go over there for lunch from time to time. Always enjoyed it. Was always affordable. I liked all the shit on the walls. Like, you're known for being the company with all the shit on the walls. And you already saw TGI Fridays go through this. We better take all the shit off the walls. Why? It's hard to dust. Well, you know what's hard to do? Run a restaurant. Running a restaurant is very difficult. There's lots of inspections. You've got to get a liquor license. There's people that are going to try to give you fake IDs. There's people that are going to dine and dash. There's going to be waitresses and wait staff that don't fucking show. There's going to be managers on cocaine. There's going to be mice. There's going to be insects. There's going to be people that come into your restaurant that you'd rather not be there. There's going to be gypsies that try to eat for free every time they come in. Running a restaurant's tough. Now, what Chili's did was they went into the back. They went into the kitchen and said, how can we make this easier for our staff? How can we make it more cost efficient? But how can we still give the product that the people that come to our fucking restaurant want, the people that still are our customers? And then they found a lane. They went on social media and they noticed everybody was bitching about how expensive fast food was. And they found a lane. We'll go after that. Wendy's and McDonald's are slipping up, whether it's because they got to pay their workers $15 an hour, whether it's inflation, whatever it is, ain't nobody want to pay $20 for a combo meal at McDonald's or Wendy's or any place like that. Burger King. And if we can have a sit-down restaurant with a plate, metal silverware, napkins, free refills, a nice lady in a uniform with an apron that will come over to the table and take your order, bring your kids into the air conditioning, they can sit down and make a mess, you don't have to clean it up, for the same price as this dog shit, F-grade meat that you're going to eat in shame in your car in the parking lot, people might like that. People might like spending $10 for a burger, fries, and a Pepsi Cola in one of our air-conditioned restaurants, of which we have many. Also, they're not franchised out. They're under one corporate fucking mission, so that when they make change, they can make sweeping change. We're doing this now. No one's going to fight us. None of these individual owners are going to fight us. That's how Chili's was able to pull it off. Applebee's has not been able to pull it off. None of these other competitors have been able to do it. So Chick-fil-A, having some dumb lady come in and say, let's make everything look simple, smooth. Let's take a belt sander to everything that provided the character for our restaurant, and thinking that's a good idea? It's nothing like these other brands that have been able to, again, pull themselves up out of the muck. Domino's was the first to do it. But Domino's went out there and admitted, hey, look, man, we think our food is shit. You guys have been telling us our food is shit. I don't think anybody's telling Cracker Barrel their food is shit. I don't think anybody's telling Cracker Barrel you need to take the stuff down off the walls. Their profit margins are too low. And maybe you're looking at it and saying, we don't want 75-year-old people in here. Well, that's the wrong way to go about it. You want the 75-year-old people to continue to come. You just maybe would like a few more. So find a lane. Nothing is more lazy than and spending millions and millions and millions of dollars to make this horrific mistake. Is just so goddamn amusing from the outside looking in. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to pearl clutch like I've seen a bunch of people do today. Like, I would rather Cracker Barrel exist. I would rather it still be something that's around just because of whimsy, just because I remember going there as a kid. It don't change my life at all if it goes away. It's the way this is happening and the time that it's happening in that has people so rambunctiously pissed off. And by the way, it's not really a political issue. I saw a tweet from the Democrats saying they don't like this either. So if anybody says that this was going to be strictly down party lines, nobody. Imagine uniting people as diametrically opposed politically as the citizens of the United States of America in 2025. Imagine doing that. And Cracker Barrel Sucktard did that.
Cracker Barrel's new logo and $700 million brand overhaul sparking some backlash from customers and critics who say the company is abandoning its country roots. You see the old logo on the left there with the older gentleman, the Cracker Barrel kind of leaning back.
The older gentleman. Where do they think is Cracker Barrel now going to blow up in Brooklyn? Like, where are you trying to fucking, we got to get into Park Slope. We don't get into Park Slope. We can't get into Billyburg. We're finished. If all these ukulele playing vegans with their handlebar mustaches, if they don't fucking like to come into our gift shop and buy Oak Ridge Boys CDs, we might as well pack it in. All right, get the belt sander out.
Back into things. The new logo, yeah, to put it politely, looks pretty bland. The stock did fall about 10% yesterday. Joining us right now with more on what's turning into a major branding blunder is Americus Reed, Wharton School Professor of Marketing. Americus, let's walk through this and talk this through. I am not a huge fan of the new logo. I think it's boring. Don't know what I think about the stores as much. The white doesn't bother me quite as much.
The stores are atrocious. If the goal is to homogenize everything, if the goal is for everything to look like everything else, mission accomplished. But then you better come up with some other reason for people to. I've always said the Five Guys aesthetic, I dig it. Like, I like walking in. It kind of has that 50s diner feel. Like, I think they're doing a good job. It don't fucking matter. The best Mexican food I've ever had in my life is in the dirtiest, dankest fucking a hole in the wall in Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, you could see bugs on the ground. It didn't matter. The shit was awesome. They didn't speak English. But everybody knew. You want the best fucking Mexican. You better have the best shit. I got news for you. Cracker Barrel don't have the best shit. Now, they got biscuits. And they got gravy. And they got pancakes. They have things that we enjoy. But you better have some personality unless you're going to be so goddamn good that people are willing to spend, you know, $25 on a burger with fries. That's where BGR went the way of the dodo. That's where fucking, Evolution Burger? What's the other? Elevation Burger. Your shit's not good enough to charge what you're charging. Trust me, I've learned that fucking lesson. I don't ever raise my prices on shit. I'm charging the same for tickets for live event that I was charging back in the Big O and Duke's days. I've never raised costs. I know I'm not worth it. Cracker Barrel is barely one step above Applebee's. Maybe, but there's one thing it is more than Applebee's. It's more memorable and it's more whimsical. And you got to figure out a way to build off that and make the improvements. But maybe the improvements could be made behind the scenes. You want people to have less time cleaning? Well, go back there and streamline your... I mean, you might have to make your menu more streamlined. I'm telling you, go watch that video we watched. It's on YouTube, where they did a full breakdown of what Chili's did behind the scenes. It was little shit. It was, we have this giant jar of pickles. And every single time one of our cooks opens this jar of pickles to get pickles for a burger, it's spilling everywhere. They got to clean it all up. They're using paper towels. There's waste. So they started using smaller jars of pickles that were more manageable. Boom. We're shaving off cook times. We're getting the food out hotter, quicker. It's shit like that before you start yanking the wheelbarrows off the side of the fucking restaurants. And what's crazy to me about this whole thing, it's not political at all. This is exactly what Fridays did. Go back and watch Office Space Fridays. I know, what was it, Schlotsky's? What was the name of that fucking horrific restaurant with the pizza fajitas and the extreme for shooters? All the pieces of flair. People like flair. Rick and the shit on your vest. I've always said it.
But it does look like they mishandled this pretty badly and it got picked up by social media. And uh-oh, now what?
Yeah, I love that point. I mean, social media is outraged about this. I mean, you can take a look at the new logo and you can determine quickly that it's an attempt to simplify, which is a trend that's going on right now. In other words, a minimalization of what you're doing and a modernization to make things a little bit less cluttered. Now, of course, there are, let me just give you quickly sort of rebrand or logo change 101 marketing. You definitely want to tweak a little bit. That's point number one. Point number two is you want to make sure that along with the change, you have the story ready. In other words, you have the narrative prepared to tell consumers why you're doing this and what's behind the change. And
see, I don't care about that at all, but here's what I do care about. Have you all heard one person say they like the logo? Throw everything out about the rest of this issue. Have you heard one person say the logo looks cleaner? That's a nice update. How much money are we going to continue to give marketers and graphic designers? Like, you got to fucking understand what looks good and what doesn't. You've replaced something that is iconic. Every single American over the age of 25 recognizes the Cracker Barrel logo before you even get close enough to fucking read it. Now your shit looks like every other $29.99 a night hotel. You're driving down the highway, you look up and see a fucking sign towering over. I want to know what it is immediately. You know who's really, really good at that? Buc-ee's. You know who can't print enough money? Buc-ee's. And I know, they got a great product also and an awesome store. Great word of mouth. But the first thing you notice is there's that big fucking woodchuck. And there's only one thing that it can possibly be. Jason from Connecticut, $1.99, accepts Super Chats. We do accept Super Chats, Jason. Just because we don't get any at all doesn't mean that anything has changed about our policy. We do accept them. Applebee's has a bar. It would be great if Cracker Barrel had a bar. Oh, could you have fucking imagined how drunk you would get and then how much what is it? Brisket and hash you would eat afterwards. You guys ever had brisket and hash? Oh, for the love of God.
So if you don't do that, then there can this, you can see what we're seeing now, which is a lot of people filling the silence with respect to their negative reactions to the logo. And then point number three is to make sure, and I'm not sure if they did this or not, but you make sure you do a little tiny test of things with your most loyal customers. And you just get a pressure test to see how they react. Because if it's this kind of vehement sort of vitriol anger, you could probably pick that up in a smaller test and you can figure it out way before this spirals out of control in the way that it has.
Do you guys think that the Texas Rangers, right? We go through this every year in Pride Month, right? The Texas Rangers are the only Major League Baseball team that doesn't do anything for Pride, right? Do you think that's because they don't like gay people? Or they don't want gay people to come buy tickets to a Texas Rangers game or buy a Rafael Palmeiro fucking jersey? No. It's because they know what their customers want and they know what they don't want. It's purely capitalistic, the decision to do that. I just think that if you're Cracker Barrel, you may want to be Shake Shack, but you ain't ever going to be Shake Shack. So figure out how to be Cracker Barrel better. Because the one thing you have the leg up on with Cracker Barrel is that there's loads of people in the middle of this fucking country that enjoy going to Cracker Barrel and have lots of great memories of going there. I mean, you got such a leg up on anybody starting a fucking new business. Work with that. Don't fucking sandblast and then varnish all of those people because you're desperate to be accepted by a group that probably don't want you anyway. Base Kothar, $5. Happy Solo Shood Friday. Thank you so much for the super chat, Base Kothar. Have this tomato.
Tomato.
That guy's a father of five.
Tomato.
Oh, boy. Al Sal, $5. Al Sal, I think I'm going to see you in the very near future, am I not? I bet the marketing team at Cracker Barrel's second choice logo was a guy on an electric scooter with a vape and a... Well, of course. Of course. And look, man, don't take this the wrong way. But there is a large group of the country that when they see a female CEO with horn-rimmed glasses and green streaks in their hair, there's nothing good's going to happen for them after that. No decisions that are made are going to take them into account. And it's like, I've been buying these shitty hash browns for 30 years. Why am I the enemy now? And you don't have to come out and say it. Anyway, it's funny because we've been talking about this and showing videos of walkthroughs now for almost a year. They've been slow playing this until they fucking did a press release, I guess, with the new logo. And then everybody lost their goddamn minds. It shows you, I mean, you want to talk about faux outrage? It shows you how few of the people screaming about it today actually go into these places. That's what I always said to the NFL. I'm like, the people that you're trying to appease with your bullshit, they're never going to fucking watch your game anyway. So who cares? I would care if my customers, like, show me, okay, this guy's got an account, he's upset about this. Like, that's the research that I care about. When the people that pay for my product say, hey, the website is doing this, or hey, I can't log into this, like, I'm on it. I'm on the motherfucker. Those are the people you got to take real good care of. Okay. Enough screaming and yelling. All right, Base Kothar. Jesus. It's a bit much, isn't it? For those of you that are... that loathe humanity as much. I don't think it's a good thing, for the record, to loathe humanity. All the people that going around with shirts that say people suck, I love cats, whatever the fuck. I think one of the reasons why we're so shitty to each other is because it's become kind of in vogue to just shit on everyone else that's outside of your own basement. The whole touch grass phenomenon, it's become annoying now when people say that, but the essence of it is, if you go around, I used to have a history teacher, Mr. Kelly, one of the greatest teachers I've ever had. I'm 46. I can't imagine he's still with us. I hope he is. I should probably try to find out. I probably should. I've said that for almost over a decade. But one of the things that he used to talk about in his class, his best history class I've ever taken. I learned a lot. He caught me sleeping one time. I felt so, it's the only class I ever felt guilty for sleeping in. And one of the things that he would do is every Christmas Eve, he would go out shopping. And I would say, Mr. Kelly, why would you do that? You're just adding to the problem, blah, blah, blah. He would go out with the express written consent to be amongst them. I think that's a Sean Connery line from Rising Sun. Somebody check me on that in the chat, please. It's time to be amongst them. He would go out. He would hold the doors for people with packages. If he was in line and there was a mom behind him with 10 packages, go ahead in front of me. He would literally go out just to be around people with their wits frayed and try to be a source of good. Now, maybe that sounds up with people, recycle your sandals, Birkenstock level shit, but he was really good with people. He was really good with kids. And I always got the sense that he really cared. And because he would go out and immerse himself in the tensest of situations that we can as civilians anyway, I think that did him a world of good. Now, do I do that? No. No, I don't. But it sounds really good. The one way where I feel very comfortable saying humanity sucks and I wish they'd drop a Moab on all of us, Daisy Cutter, this motherfucker, is online gamers. Something happens when we're competing at video games online with strangers. I get fascist when I think of Call of Duty players. Like, I want camps and tournament camps. I know how that sounds. But these parents aren't doing it. They don't know what their kids are up to in the basement. You monitor all these comms. I mean, there's a straight Big Brother shit. You grab these little shitheads where they live, pull them out, and you do one of those 30 days in the hole bit where it's like, okay, You're going to act this way? This is what it's like being in prison for 30 days. I mean, I'd go all the way with it. I don't want anything to do with any of you playing video games online. If there's a way to lock it down with four of your buddies and go out kill some bots, a la GoldenEye, Gears of War, something like that, okay. Count on one hand how many of your friends can all free up their schedules at the same time at this stage of life and put together an hour and a half to go do that. I got zero. First of all, we might not have the same system. Second of all, we might not be into the same games. Third of all, they got kids. That's all they do. So when it's time to play video games, I don't want to hear from you at all. Like, I play Mortal Kombat on Combat League. I got the chat muted. You can't send me a DM. You can't send me a friend's request. I want nothing to do with you. We have no relationship. You can teabag me while we're fighting, but in 10 seconds, I'll be fighting somebody else, and I'll never see you ever again. And even that's pushing it for me. I want single-player immersive campaign gaming. BioShock, Borderlands, Ghost of Tsushima. I don't need an online component at all. I'm still rip shit pissed that I can't play my own video games that I buy without my fucking system being hooked up to the internet. When did we lose that power? When was the date that happened? I want a piece of fucking media that I can slide into my game player of choice and play it immediately. I don't want to have to sit there and watch the game that I bought that I have on a disc load for 6 hours. I don't want it. So, I want single player. I want to be left alone. And whenever they make a horror-based game that's based on a big horror movie franchise, generally it's just a multiplayer offering. I can think of The Evil Dead, Friday the 13th, I think was like that. So this was big news for me. I'm so excited. This is from Bloody Disgusting. And the headline is, Halloween the Game, here's what we know about the single-player story mode. Please and thank you. Hit the like button. Have you hit the like button yet? It don't cost nothing. Likes are fun for everyone. DC Sports Mark, $4.99. Thank you so much for the super chat. Did you see the new Resident Evil trailer yet? Thoughts?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Oh, and no. Send it over to me. I'll take a look. You talking about for the game? Yes. I thought you meant a movie. Thoughts is... We can talk about thoughts. Some other point. Thank you, DC Sports Mark, for the super chat. Single player mode. So, announced Michael Myers returns to Haddonfield in the asymmetrical stealth horror game. Don't know what that means. Halloween the Game, which is dedicated to immersing players in the chilling, iconic world of John Carpenter's original Halloween. That's good news. I don't want any of that. Evil Dies Tonight. What do they chant in the Halloween Kills? Evil Dies Tonight. What was that horrible movie? We didn't know how good we had it in Halloween Kills. Because that third movie was going to come around where they cucked Michael Myers in the sewer underneath Haddonfield. They had some sort of fucking sexually ambiguous moron try to take him over. God, that's a bad movie. How do you end that trilogy on that fucking second trilogy? Is it the third trilogy? Well, Rob Zombie didn't get a third movie, so I don't know what you call that. What sets this horror franchise-based game apart from recent games, including the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, unlike those games, Halloween the Game will feature its very own single-player mode. But what exactly does that mean? In addition to the online multiplayer versions of the game, Halloween the Game will also feature offline bots so that gamers can play matches solo, But what's most important to note here is the game will also feature a legit single-player story mode, something that other asymmetrical games in the horror... Can someone please tell me what that means? Horror IP space have been ignoring for recent years. The game's official website details, for starters, heralded as one of the very best in the genre. John Carpenter's Halloween stands alone above the rest when it comes to storytelling and tension. Jared Gerritsen knew the project wouldn't have been complete with just a fun multiplayer experience. There needed to be an immersive single-player component to fully bring true horror experience to the players. It sounds like he'll be playing as Michael Myers. Sounds like we'll be playing as Michael Myers, which is absolutely fantastic. So, two things here. Turning on the bots. Did any of you play Perfect Dark? Did anyone play the sequel to GoldenEye? Probably the most fun I've ever had in my life is turning on the bots in Perfect Dark and throwing timed mines on them, throwing proximity mines on them, throwing remote mines on them, watching them fucking derp down the hall, and then exploding them. I mean, just what a fucking gas that is. So if I'm going to be able to shape it up, I'm going to be able to Michael Myers it up on a bunch of bots instead of having to deal with you people, holy shit, what a great idea. Why has nobody else thought of this? And then a single-player immersive campaign. The only way it works is if you are Michael Myers. I don't want to be any other survivors. I don't want to be some teenage broad in her underwear. Like, I want to be Michael Myers stalking the residents of this town, almost Hitman-like, where you're trying to pull off the kills as flawlessly as possible. Perfect Dark was good. Came with an upgrade cartridge. Yes, yes. You put the little cartridge into that clunky-ass fucking Nintendo 64 controller. Revolutionary. Revolutionary. It's great news. Great news for those of you like me that want nothing to do with anyone else while you're playing your video games. Oh! Bring it to me today. I want it. I want it in my butt. All right, so this is, I'm only bringing this up, somewhat sad news. Well, it is sad news, but I'm bringing it up because I have a bit of a personal story to go along with the story itself. And this is from, I don't know how many of you have ever been to ATL Georgia, the 404. Go past that second Waffle House. Georgia's hot, very hot. And Atlanta's a fun town. I haven't been in the past, 8 years since everybody started being really upset with each other. But my brother used to live down there, and it was what a great time we had. A lot of bars, great sports town. One of the times I visited, it was for WrestleMania. Went down there to cover WrestleMania for 106.7 The Fan and the Chad Dukes Wrestling Show. And while we were there, we did what any mouth agape, mouth breathing, fucking rube on the boardwalk, cotton candy in one hand, holding my mama's hand with the other, trying to knock the milk bottles over with three baseballs. He ain't ever gonna do it. What any fucking rube would do, we went to the Atlanta Aquarium, one of the biggest in the world. And of course, I don't know this. I would imagine in Japan or China, there has to be an aquarium that has whale sharks, even though they're kind of the ones responsible for fucking up the shark population as it is. We all know that. But they had whale sharks in captivity that you could go see, along with these giant fucking manta rays, these amazing manta rays that would... They would swim right up to the glass, and they would do backflips in front of the glass like they were performing. I don't know why. We couldn't give them peanuts or anything. You can't feed them. But it was a spectacular experience. And it really has gone on in my adult life. I'm against zoos. I'm against aquariums. I'm really conflicted when it comes to whether or not I am a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. I don't think I ever can be. I'm too much of a pussy. I have lots of liberal leanings, and some of them are, I can't stand seeing animals locked up. It eats me the fuck up inside. Like, I'm one of those people that wants SeaWorld to be detonated. Like, I don't care if kids enjoy watching those orcas. Like, I don't think they should. And I'm not stupid either. Like, I understand that an orca could get chopped up by a fucking cruise liner. We go release all the whale sharks. There could be an infection. There could be a predator. There could be whatever, you know? Zoos help out endangered species. There's these creatures that'll be extinct. I get all the fucking arguments. Me being a giant pussy, lib, I can't stand it. It drives me nuts. I don't want to see it. As much as I'm pro-gun and pro-hunting and pro, you know, meat industry. Like, I want things to run smoothly. I don't know if the benefits of us incarcerating animals outweigh what they do to the animals. Maybe they do. One of the things they've said, and I think they'll say it in this story right here, is that having these whale sharks in captivity for all these years has given them like an enormous amount of data, enormous amount of information on how the creatures live. I just like to see the results. Like, what does that fucking mean? Are we basing this all off of kids go see the whale sharks, and then they want to become conservationists, they want to become marine biologists, ichthyologists? Okay. I'd like to see the numbers. Send them over to me. Email them to me. But I saw this story yesterday, and I wanted to talk about it before Monday when I do the Chad Duke Show, because I have a bit of a personal connection. I can me it up here. But this is from the Georgia Aquarium, and this is the local television station, I believe, down there in Atlanta.
Well, tonight, the Georgia Aquarium is mourning the loss of a whale shark living here since 2007. The aquarium says Taroko had declining health and needed to be euthanized. Veterinary staff said they noticed some changes in Taroko's appetite and behavior. More than 43 million people visited Taroko over the years. He was rescued from Taiwan.
43 million people. So that's a lot. That's a lot. I don't know. I don't know if Taroko would have died in the open sea as quickly as he did here. I don't know how long whales. I probably should have looked it up. But that story bummed me out because, and if you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify, I invite you to go look at the image on at Chad Duke Show on Instagram, or it will be the cover image on ChadDukeShow.com. But this is a photo that I took while I was in the Georgia Aquarium. This was years ago. This is probably 9 years ago, 10 years ago, probably 2014. So I'd say 10 years ago. And that is the shark that passed away. You go into this massive room. Walk down these pathways where you're kind of underneath all the water, and you go into this massive room with this massive viewing portal, and there they are. And they were actually feeding all of the sharks and the fish and the manta rays. They had a boat that was floating. You could see the boat. You were down below, and you could look up, and you could see the boat. There's light piercing through from the skylights. And this is a photo of that shark that passed away. And I remember being completely awestruck. Like, I remember seeing it and thinking, this is something that I shouldn't be seeing. This is something that no human being should probably ever be seeing. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm sitting here in Atlanta. It's 150,000 degrees outside. I'm waiting to see if Shawn Michaels is going to come back and turn on Triple H or whatever the fuck John Cena and Batista were doing at the time. I think I still have the chair upstairs. I think I still have my chair from this WrestleMania. I'll have to go look. And I'm looking up at the belly of a whale shark. It was a very unique experience. And it was even more so, it was very surreal when I was reading that news on the internet. And I realized, holy shit, that's the same shark. The big one. And I went back and looked through my fucking... Somehow I've had an iPhone for a very long time. I don't like going, I don't know how you guys are. I don't like going too far back in my iPhone. I get weirded out. I start thinking about mortality. I start thinking about, have I wasted this time? Because it's like, not much has changed from then since now, except the hope I had for my career. I don't like going too far back. Oh, that guy doesn't talk to me anymore. Oh, that guy still works at the radio station and produces the Junkies, and now he doesn't return my texts. But I went back for this one, and it was pretty surreal looking at this picture after hearing that story and feeling as conflicted as I still do, because I'm sitting here ranting and raving with you. The duality of this argument for me is strange because I'm of course, as always, hypocritical. I'm ranting and raving about how I hate this shit and I don't want it and who cares if the kids like it. And I had this, I wouldn't say life-changing experience, but certainly an impactful experience that a decade later kind of like comes full circle. It's very, very strange. DC Sports Mark 499, thank you so much, buddy. The WrestleMania recap episodes were some of the best. We had a great time. We had a great time. The station never won. It was so fucking stupid. Like the station, eventually they wouldn't even let us broadcast live. Like they made me take vacation. I was getting all this amazing content, video, audio. And they'd be like, well, you can put it up on the website, but we don't want any of it on the air. They'd have Bill Rowland and LeVar talking about middle relief pitching, and I'm sitting there interviewing John Cena. And I'm like, we don't have to do the whole show on wrestling. But we broadcast live from stupid shit all the time. We broadcast live from private golf tournaments, broadcast live from soccer games, shit that nobody fucking cared about. And I guarantee it's because WrestleMania didn't pay them no money. The WWE didn't pay them no money. They didn't get paid no money to go to Radio Row either for the fucking Super Bowl. You know, that cost us money as well. Oh, boy. Was that the same trip you went to the Atlanta Falcons game? It was Matt Ryan's debut. I don't know, DC Sports Mark. There was two trips. I went to Atlanta like 35 times. There was the trip when we went to the UFC and we watched. You can date it easily. Chuck Liddell got knocked the fuck out by Rashad Evans. Knocked him the fuck out. Made Rashad Evans think that he could stand up. And he stopped being one of those boring wrestling fighters that just won every fight that they had on points. We saw Matt Ryan's debut. I remember Big Dana Man wore his Michael Vick jersey. I think this was when we went for WrestleMania, though. I think this was a different trip. It's funny that you remember that, though. Thank you for caring this long. I don't know why you do. And I think you should reassess your priorities in life. God, all my email is filled with is just people that need money. It's just fucking unbelievable. Okay. So I have a personal story to share, but I also wanted to talk about Daniel Day-Lewis coming back to act again. And if you guys haven't followed this story, Daniel Day-Lewis has been retired since he did a movie called The Phantom Thread. It's called The Phantom Thread, which on paper, if you read what the plot of this movie is, never in a million years would you think Shud would enjoy this movie, but it doesn't matter what the topic of the movie is. If Daniel Day-Lewis is in the film, it's going to be phenomenal. He's that good of an actor. He completely transfixes and transcends anything you would try to compare him to inside of his own industry. Any actor, any cinematography, anything you would try to do to get people to watch a screen, he's better at that than anyone else. So he retired. This was years ago. I went to see that movie in the theater because I'd watch the man piss on a wall. I legitimately would watch him piss up a rope. So much to my surprise yesterday, there was a trailer that popped up on X for a movie called Anemone. Anemone? A-N-E-M-O-N-E. He's been retired for 8 years. And he's come out of retirement to act with Sean Bean, who's the best. You know him from everything. Game of Thrones, GoldenEye, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, plays Boromir. The guy's the shit. He's in Jupiter Ascending. We all know that. Did you guys know that the Wachowski twins are both trans? What are the fucking odds? I think I didn't know that until last night. I knew that one of them transitioned. They both transitioned. The Matrix. Twisted. Their perception of reality so much, they both decided, nah, this male shit's for the birds. I wonder how many times that's happened. I digress. Jupiter Ascending, they directed that. My wife actually enjoys the movie Jupiter Ascending. You gotta put it on. You gotta put it on for like an hour and ask yourself, what type of a fucking fever dream am I watching here? It's the opposite of There Will Be Blood. So, Daniel Day-Lewis comes out of retirement because his son is directing this movie. Ronan Day-Lewis, which, by the way, killer fucking name. Is there a cooler name? If there's a cooler name on earth than Daniel Day-Lewis, it's Ronan Day-Lewis. Now, I don't know shit about him, but apparently they wrote this script together. And one of the reasons why I'm so excited is the script is a movie that deals with brothers and sons and fathers and the relationships between these things. And we don't get a lot of that in popular culture anymore, do we? Certainly don't. It's a lot of girl bossing it up. It's about two brothers that something bad happened and they were, you know, in the military, and it happens in England, but they were at war in Ireland, and there's a lot of great accents. And fucking, it is so insane now. If you watch this trailer, I'm not going to play it here because I know I'll get fucking copyright fucking issues. But it's so goddamn crazy. I've watched so much There Will Be Blood. I've watched so much Gangs of New York that to hear the voice again and to see he's got a mustache in this movie again. He's got a shock of gray hair. It's just to hear him and see him on camera again. It's quite shocking. Quite shocking indeed. And it led me down a Daniel Day-Lewis rabbit hole. The movie looks fantastic, by the way. Looks unbelievable. I guess it's going to have a limited release on October 3rd, and then it'll expand nationwide into October 10th. I don't know when you have to have shit in for the Academy Awards, but he's going to get nominated again. He gets nominated every time he treads the board, so why not here? Looks like there's only three people in this movie. But it led me down a rabbit hole to which I did not know that Daniel Day-Lewis, before he took on Bill the Butcher, had retired previously and studied in Italy to become a shoemaker. I guess everyone on Earth knew this except me. Dude in Italy makes his own shoes using techniques from hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And Daniel Day-Lewis loves shoes so much that he went and he was this dude's Padawan learner. Now, I've oftentimes said that geniuses can do what geniuses want, and geniuses are usually fucking weird. Bill Murray comes to mind. Sturgill Simpson comes to mind. These are geniuses, and their decisions frustrate the shit out of me because I just want more Ghostbusters. I just want more High Top Mountain. But they're weirdos. Daniel Day-Lewis is a weirdo. Of course he is. And he loves shoes. So for years, we didn't get more Daniel Day-Lewis in his prime. He fucked off to make shoes. And it's his choice. And if he were here right now, I'd toot on that pecker right in front of you. I mean, my YouTube channel would go straight up in smoke because of all the pecker tooting. Nobody would toot a pecker like I would toot a pecker if Daniel Plainview was right here bashing me over the head with a bowling pin. He can do whatever he wants. Doesn't need my permission. But fuck. Fuck. Nobody needs shoes that badly. Now, that being said, if any of you are able to find a pair of shoes that Daniel Day-Lewis himself made, holy shit. How incredible would it be to own something like that? How marvelous would it be to be screaming about immigrants in your living room, watching Gangs of New York while wearing Bill the Butcher shoes? Oh. I couldn't believe it. And I just sat there saying, how much of the fucking great shit that we could have had? You know what? The flip side of that coin is Robert De Niro. Like, who's better than Godfather 2, Goodfellas, Raging Bull? I mean, go down the fucking list. And he's worked our entire lives, and 60% of his shit is shit. It's Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's fucking Meet the Fockers. Maybe it's better. You know, it's like Thanksgiving dinner. Daniel Day-Lewis is Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe you would take some of the specialness out of the meal if you had Thanksgiving dinner every Friday night. But fuck me if I wouldn't want to give it a go. If I wouldn't want to try it. Give me a turkey and mashed potatoes, gravy boats. Why don't more meals have gravy boats? Please somebody bring that up at my funeral, that I've been a gravy boat champion my entire life. Al Sal says, Channing Tatum on space rollerblades. Nuff said, no shit. No shit. Whew. All right. Finally. I need a little advice. So this is more of a personal matter. I have a neighbor whom I know. Nice guy. From what I know of him. And he lives out in Nakona, right over my shoulder here. And we don't have an HOA. I'm blessed enough to live in a decent enough neighborhood where we don't need an HOA. We don't need people telling us our business. Everybody keeps up everything. If anything, people put too much money into their houses. Every time I walk around the dog around the neighborhood, there's people, new siding getting put on, new windows getting put in, new shingles on the roof, repave that driveway, landscapers building rock gardens and koi ponds. You know, I'm not trying to flex nuts. I'm just telling you, like, usually we don't need any policing in my neighborhood. I've never seen the police in my neighborhood. Never, not once. We don't need the National Guard to be called into Oakton Falls. You feel me? So, this motherfucker has let his lawn, it looks like straight Isla Nublar over there, or Isla Sonar, I'm not sure. Whichever the one that was in Jurassic Park 3. A couple decades gone by, the visitor center had been overtaken, all that shit. It looks like hell. And he's right on a Kona. So, you see it. Everybody sees it. You see it driving in and out of my cul-de-sac, drive up the road. It looks like hell. I mean, his fucking yard looks like Jumanji. Looks like Silverback should be swinging dick around over there. So I talked to this guy before, and he's one of these guys that has also a little dog, little tiny dog. So I don't know if that comes into the conversation, but he seems like a normal enough dude, is my point. We've gone back and forth a couple of times. I've talked sports with him. Doesn't seem like a weirdo. Seems like a normal chap. So it's even more strange that this dude has let his fucking yard fall into a complete state of disrepair. And I'm not even talking about it just needs some weeds or some trimming. Like, it fucking looks like nobody's lived at this house in months. I don't know that he's cut it maybe once at the beginning of the summer and then c'est la vie. So nobody else is going to say shit. I know that. Nobody's going to say a word to this dude. And I'm not talking about going up and banging on his door. But what I would ask to you all is this. And if you are listening to this later, it's ChadDukeShow@gmail.com. I would love to just get a sample of how people think this should be handled. My idea was the next time I see him out, because I see him walking the dog, you know, I see him coming in, picking up the paper. I don't even know if he's there every day anymore. I can't be certain. But what my thought was, is because it's kind of a sensitive issue, like you're basically someone that isn't family is telling you, hey, your shit's fucked up. My idea was to go up to him and say, hey, hoy. Maybe I'll say hoy. Hoy, boy. Hoy. Want to go down to the hoy and hoy, boy? Maybe I'll do that. Maybe Hellbelly will speak to him. We recently hired some new landscapers. We had a problem with the old one. Guy wasn't showing up when he said he was going to. We had to go out and pay a little bit more, but we got people now that'll show up when they're supposed to. And they've been more reliable, and the yard looks better. It's expensive, sucks, but the yard looks better. Would it be rude for me to walk up to him if he's outside or walking the dog and say, hey, we just hired these new landscapers. They're working out pretty great. Would you like me to give you their phone number or their email address? Because I'm not directly saying your shit sucks, get it fixed, but I'm offering a solution and then also letting it be known politely that we all notice. I'm really not in favor of telling people how to live their lives, how to raise their kids. I have my thoughts on the whole process, but it's America. You could do what you want. You paid for that property. I'm against being taxed for property that I already paid for and got taxed on when I bought it. I'm against that. I think once it's your property, it's your property. But is it part of the community? Doesn't necessarily take a village, but one of the things, like when we were talking about earlier, how we all treat each other like shit, I think it's because we don't know our neighbors anymore. That Sebastian Maniscalco bit, I don't know if you guys have seen it, where he talks about company, how we used to have company over. He used to have a coffee cake in case company came over. He used to have a tin of Sanka in case company came over. And now you're crawling around on the floor hoping that whoever's at the front door doesn't realize you're there. Something changed. But it's also kind of a sensitive topic. So what I suppose I'm asking is, what do you think of my plan? And then B, if that is, you know, not acceptable, not amenable, you're not amenable to that, what's another alternative? Is there another alternative? Or should I just mind my fucking business? I've been just minding my business because I generally think most of the time that's the way to go. But it looks like shit. I don't know what his neighbor should, there's a guy that lives right next door to him where at the property line, I mean, there's got to be mosquitoes. There's got to be the lantern. I mean, all of this fucking overgrowth, it's got to be affecting the neighbors and their ability to enjoy their yard. So they probably should be the ones to go over and say something. But most people, I don't think, are inclined. Pia says, does he have any health issues? No, that I can see. He walks his dog every night. You know, he's getting out and hoofing it around. I think he's got a young kid. But I don't live in the Emerald Kingdom, but to live in my neighborhood, you've got to be making some kind of a living that would allow you to then hire someone to come around and mow the lawn once every 2 weeks. How much is that? $100? DC Sports Mark says he's grandfathered in for $1.99. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for being our super chatter for today. Yeah, I'd like to know what you guys think. ChadDukeShow@gmail.com because it's real. This isn't some fucking prep burger topic that I was just holding on to. I'm going to kill 10 minutes. No, I'd like to have a solution. It's pissing me off. Oh, getting messages from Al Sal. It's a big night tonight. Big night tonight. I think you guys are going to be very excited when you hear about what the next CD exclusive episode is. In that vein, please to be going, CommonwealthDryGoods.com, picking up your copy of Hot Men Shed. It's only $20 CD exclusive episode. It's a great one. You'll never hear another episode like it again. If you are listening to this show on iTunes or Spotify, leave a 5-star review. It don't cost nothing. Helps us get into the algorithm. Also, it's good incentive to continue putting free content up each and every week. Speaking of that, next Friday, you will get another brand new episode of The Chad Duke Show, Poor Edition, curated by Joe Azer. He's got some of the best segments we've done behind the paywall over the past 5 years. There was a great episode last week. I'm assuming you guys have already heard it. If not, go check it out. One of the funniest segments. This is going to sound egotistical, but one of the most, the funniest segments in radio history. Radio history. Not that I've just been a part of, but the Jim Jester not buying the frozen Supreme pizza saga is one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever heard in my life. I was just lucky enough to be a part of it. That's available on this feed for free. Go check it out, iTunes and Spotify. Lori Wagner, thank you so much for the $5 super chat. Will there be solid dudes tonight? No. No solid dudes tonight. We are recording a CD episode. So we're going to lose a lot of income, but you guys are going to love it. You want to sponsor an episode? at Chad Nukes on Venmo. It would be a great night to do it, since we're going to lose all those Bobby Double L's. We're going to lose all those largemouth asses and all the Joey8172s. All those great people, the TJ Evans, that come by and keep the motherfucking lights on around here. Fuck yeah, Chippa. All right, if the good Lord is willing, the creeks don't rise. I'll meet you guys on Monday for a brand new episode of the Chad Nukes Show. You can subscribe today at ChadNukesShow.com. Till that time, enjoy this turkey verse of ours, friendos, who helped build it. Have a great weekend. Let it rip and roll out the trash can. Wave to the people.
You know what I always say? Time to that offensive few. Ta-da to fucking you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.